welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. It's the show here where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. Here on Drive Time Big Q&A, we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. G'day, everybody. It's Will and my co-host Brenton here in the studio. So glad that you are able to join us.
We are
here tonight on our wonderful live program. We have a wonderful theme that we are going to be unpacking this week. What is Christmas all about? That's the million-dollar question that we will be seeking to unpack for the rest of the week, Brenton, myself, and our team. But tonight, the specific question we are looking at is, should I celebrate Christmas? Is it pagan? And I guess, Brenton, this question, comes around this time of the year when we're seeking to, you know, celebrate Christmas. And, you know, there's people out there that, what's the actual origins of Christmas? And so that's the theme we're going to be unpacking. So you're in for a treat when we hope you will enjoy the next hour with us.
Hopefully so.
So wherever you're tuning in from, whether it's here regionally in Adelaide or across the country, or you may be listening to this at a future episode, hey, thank you for choosing to spend time with us here on Faith FM. So before we jump into our theme, what we always like to do at the beginning of the program, we always like to share a bit of an article, a World Watch segment, we call it. And so, Pastor Brenton, I'd love to share this article. It gives you a bit of the warm and fuzzy, so to speak, because it's a beautiful story.
We were talking about it off air. It's a very, very generous thing to do.
So it was over in the Gold Coast just recently, and 9news.com.au picked this article up. They shared it, actually. So here we go. Okay. The title of the article is Stranger Pays Off All Christmas Lay-Bys at Gold Coast Toy Store.
That's
pretty amazing gesture.
They didn't give a dollar figure, did they?
I don't think so.
As to how much it paid off.
Yeah. So, hey, Pastor, let me read a few lines here and we'll just unpack a bit. So this is the article by Mariah Davis, and the article says, a stranger has helped spread Christmas cheer on the Gold Coast after paying off all lay-bys at a toy store.
Wow.
Families with gifts on lay-by at Mr. Toys, Toys World, Helensvale, received a call yesterday informing them that a mystery donor had paid off their remaining bill. A staff member told 9news.com.au they didn't recognize the customer and don't believe they've spotted him at the store before. And one employee said, I'd say it's been a great surprise for some of our customers. They were grateful and crying, the employee said. A parent who didn't wish to be named said the random act of kindness would make all the difference in the lead up to Christmas. And one, she says, I felt overjoyed, emotional, and grateful that someone is so kind, they said. And then another shopper took to social media and shared this on Facebook, I think. This will make Christmas a tad more financially manageable and take off some of the pressure. Then lastly, another woman wrote on social media, to the incredible gentleman who walked into Mr. Toy's Toy World, Helensvale, and paid off every lay-by, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, the woman wrote. Your generosity is beyond any words I could possibly say, and your act of kindness has no doubt brought so much joy to so many families, including ours. So what do you reckon, Brenton? There's probably some families out there in the Gold Coast area, you know, trying to make ends meet and don't want to upset their kids, you know, during Christmas. So they're trying their best to get some presents and some gifts ready for their children. Here comes this guy, walks into the toy store and says, hey, I'm going to pay off all of the lay-bys. And just thinking of, you know, firstly, what do you think? Why do you think he did it? And I guess the article here is talking about, you know, he paid off everybody's lay-by. I'm just thinking, like, you know, if that was me when I was younger and my mom had to, because she actually was doing a lot of those lay-by scenarios.
My mother used to use lay-by.
Yeah. And it wasn't just for Christmas stuff. It was like things that we kind of looking towards, maybe like a TV or something that was into the hundreds, and she'd often put lay-bys here. So here is a gentleman walks into the store and just says, you know, I'm going to pay it all off. What do you take of that article?
Well, I think it's incredibly generous. I was just thinking of my late mother. My dear mum, She used to go to the Christmas sales, Will. Maybe your mum did too, straight after Christmas. You know, yeah. December 26th, Boxing Day.
Yeah.
They all, as I say to my wife, they max out their credit cards if they aren't already maxed out. Mum used to go and buy next year's Christmas presents and put them on lay-by. And she would pay them off during the year so that at the end of the next year, we would get our Christmas presents.
She was doing that all year.
Yeah, she used to do that quite a bit. So this guy, for him to pay everybody's off, even though we don't have a monetary figure, I reckon it's incredibly generous of him.
Yep.
It doesn't seem as though the article records why he did it, and it may well be that he wanted to do it anonymously without anybody knowing, because you remember they said, the store people said, we don't reckon we've ever seen him here before. He's never been into our store before.
Yeah.
So if you put all of those things together, it would suggest to me you could almost say Santa had come early.
Yeah.
So to speak, because to do that's incredibly generous.
Yeah.
It really is. But you know what? There's almost a spiritual application there, isn't there?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That you could draw from it.
Yeah.
It's not a toy store, but Christ came to this earth, and the subject we're going to be talking about is Christmas. He came to this earth and cancelled all our debts.
Yeah.
So that we could have eternal life. Yeah. So I reckon that's a very good sermon illustration, Will.
Absolutely.
You probably use that one in a sermon.
Absolutely. And I think for me the takeaway as well, Brenton, is I think that's why Christmas is such a beautiful time of the year, because it leads people to almost like take a step out, and instead of thinking of themselves and thinking of our own problems, is kind of looking out and looking towards the needs of others.
And
I think it's a universal gesture that, regardless of your faith or race or background, everyone understands what that man did. It was an act of kindness, the article used the term.
Absolutely.
And I think it's wonderful that this man, whether he's religious or not, I think deep down there's an intrinsic sense of deep in us. I know that as humans, there is a need to connect, a need to to feel that of giving. And I just think, you know, when you hear stories like that, it always warms your heart.
It warms your heart. Just try and put yourself in the situation of this shop assistants. This guy walks in off the street and says, I'm going to pay all
that.
Can you give me a total of all your lay-bys for your store? Why?
That's right.
Because I'm going to pay it all off.
Yeah.
What would you be doing? Your mouth would be dropping.
Yeah.
Your mouth would be hitting the floor.
Yeah.
Your eyes would be as big as saucepans.
Yeah.
You'd go, what? Such generosity.
Yeah.
Particularly this year when we have struggled so much. I mean, the cost of living at the moment, I was trying to do some research on it today. I didn't get a lot of information, but let me share this with you, and I'll probably touch on it again when we get to the subject of why should we celebrate Christmas. Roy Morgan Research, you've probably heard of them, one of Australia's best-known researchers. Do you know, just listen to this.
Yeah.
This Christmas, they estimate 16.7 million Australians will spend an estimated $11.8 billion, not million.
Wow, billion.
On presents.
Goodness.
That's up $1.7 billion from last year. So whilst our economic circumstances are not improving, the cost of power is going up and people are complaining about that, the cost of groceries is through the roof. You just talk to any lady who goes and does the shopping, they'll tell you that the cost of living is going up and up and up and up, and it's getting harder and harder to make ends meet. I wonder what sort of dent into that $11.8 billion his donation has made.
Yeah.
It's obviously made some connection, I would say.
Amen. Mm. So it's great to, you know, during this time of the year when everyone's celebrating Christmas, running around trying to get presents for their loved ones. Here is this random act of kindness. We don't know the guy's name.
No, we don't.
And he preferred it that way. He didn't want the spotlight to be on himself. He just wanted to add value to those kids out there and those families out there. So, hey, if that man, and I'm guessing the man, it's a gentleman. If he may be listening. We want to say thank you, sir, for your loving act of kindness, and we know that it has gone a long way to brighten the smiles of many kids across the Gold Coast area. So, hey, God bless, mate, and it's great to know that there are people out there who still are there to help others and to serve others. Good Samaritans. Yeah. Amen to that.
Tell him to send in for a book offer.
Yeah. And you'll be, we will give that to you for free, my friend.
Yeah. Free book offer.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, good segue, Brenton. We're going to go to our book offer before we go to a break. So our book offer for this week, for tonight and the rest of the week is the title of the book is Knowing God, Knowing Jesus, Knowing God. That's the title of the book by David Marshall.
David Marshall.
And so, hey, in line with the season that we're in, this book is all about Jesus. It reveals his personality, the reasons why we can believe in him and depend on him and how we can accept his salvation. When you get the book, David, his background, he has degrees, including a doctorate in history. But he chose to spend his life communicating the good news about Jesus.
Yes.
And he is never happier, I love this part, than when he is immersed in the four Gospels. He believes that in them we encounter the living Christ.
Yes.
And so if you would like this book is retailing at $8.95. And so we're going to give this book absolutely free of charge. All you need to do, if you'd like to receive a copy, is just text the code. And the code for this book offer this week, SA244. You need to text that code, so grab your phone if you can. Text the code SA244 to our number 0488 80811, and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, the title of the book offer, Knowing Jesus, Knowing God by David Marshall. If you'd like a free copy, please text the code SA244 to our number 0488 80811, and we will get that book out to you as soon as we can. And so when we get back, we'll get straight into our topic for tonight. Should we celebrate Christmas? Is it pagan? But for now, we'll go to a song. Please don't go away. We'll be back in just a few moments. Away in a Manger. That was Anna Weatherup and Dale Willis. We hope you enjoy that song. If you just joined us, welcome. You are listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A, our Christmas special. We're looking at the theme, what is Christmas all about? And tonight, Brenton and I, we're going to be looking at the question, should I celebrate Christmas and is it pagan? Now, that's a question that seems to come around this time of the year. And so, Pastor Brenton, we're just going to jump right into this this subject tonight. What are your thoughts on it? What does the Bible say? What do we learn? What do we understand about this concept of Christmas? And should we celebrate it? Mm. And the second part of that question, is it pagan?
Yes. Well, let's have a look at what the Bible does say, because the Bible doesn't actually say very much. Before I get to that, let me give you a little bit of a background. If you study the scriptures, the Gospels in particular, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you'll realise that the timeline for Christ's crucifixion and all of that sort of thing is fairly well laid out. How do we know that? Because if you know the year that he was crucified, you would know on what day the 14th of Nisan was, and you would be able to work out reasonably accurately when Christ was crucified and hence rose from the dead. The gospel writers place a lot of emphasis on that, but you know what? They don't place very much emphasis on Christ's birth, i.e., they don't place a lot of emphasis on the fact that they don't give you a chronological date,
right,
or even a chronological year. You might remember that often BC and AD, you have 4 BC and then you go to AD.
Yeah.
I'm going to read just 2 statements from Matthew, and then we'll get right into it. And these are the only two. Matthew and Luke were really the only two gospel writers who spoke about Christ's birth in any sense at all.
Right.
Matthew says this, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" What does that tell you? It doesn't tell you anything chronologically. It doesn't tell you what year he was born in, what month, or anything like that. It's more of a statement. Now, after Jesus was born, you then go over to Luke. Now, Matthew, as we know, was a tax collector by trade before he became a disciple of Jesus. When you come to chapter 2 of Luke, it says this, "And it came to pass in those days," which days, "that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus." Okay, so if you studied history, you would be able to find the reign of Caesar Augustus, which from memory was fairly long. It was something like about 40 years, I think.
Okay.
That all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So they all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And then it gives you the background as why did Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem? Because that's where their heritage was. That's where they had to go to register. What were they registering for? Basically for taxation purposes, for military service and for other things. In other words, Augustus wanted to know everything about his empire. He wanted to know his taxation capabilities and he wanted to know what he had in the way of resources, manpower and that sort of thing in there. Again, this still really doesn't tell you a great deal about when Christ was actually born. And it's interesting, you can study the epistles of Paul, you can study the epistles of Peter, and you won't find any reference in any of those epistles as to when Christ was born. It either makes a direct statement about it or it just assumes that you knew that Christ was born, so therefore we move on from there. When you come to about the 2nd century AD, you come to a number of what we call the church fathers, and you would have heard of some of them. I'll name them. Tertullian, Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, and some of these guys. These guys were guys who lived in the 2nd and 3rd century AD. Again, the writings that we have from that period of time are nearly silent on Christ's birth as far as trying to identify it. However, There were some guys in Alexandria who did try and calculate when Christ was born. They came up with all sorts of ideas. I'm not going to name them all on air, but they suggested all sorts of dates. In other words, they didn't really know. Tertullian, however, did something interesting. Around about the year AD 200, he obviously started to show a bit of an interest in the fact that, look, we all know when Christ was crucified and all the rest of it, but is it important to know, or some sort of an idea of when he was born? And so he did some study and concluded that the Passover took place on March 25, according to the Roman calendar, and that 9 months later to the day was the date of Christ's birth, because he believed that Christ's conception was at the time of the Passover. And it's interesting that some of these early Christian fathers also believed that Christ's death took place. In other words, his birth and his death were basically on the same day. I don't believe that personally, but anyway, that's what some of them were saying. So this was going on during the period between 250 and 300 AD, where there was various Christians making various times. Now, you've heard the argument, Will, and I'm sure some of our listeners have, oh, we mustn't celebrate Christmas because Christmas is of pagan origin. And, you know, it came from da-di-da-di-da, and I'll get to that in a minute, but let's just put it this way. During the period of time when they were first starting to show an interest in Christianity, or Christianity was starting to show an interest in the birth of Christ, which we believe was the period roughly about 250 to 300 AD, at that time, Christians were not actively propagating Christian festivals on pagan holidays, which is the main reason as to why people don't celebrate Christmas, to make them more palatable, because they were undergoing severe persecution. You've heard of a guy called Diocletian. Diocletian was persecuting Christians from – he was about the last seriously recorded Trajan, I think, was another emperor who persecuted. And then you can go way back to the time of Nero, around about 64 to 68 AD, around about that period. But these people, the Christians, were not taking pagan holidays and Christianizing them, because they weren't propagating their beliefs very much at that stage. The pagans would have known what they believed in many areas, and so they didn't propagate any of this.
Yeah.
However, that changed a little bit, as you probably are aware. You may have heard of a guy called Constantine.
Yeah.
Now, Constantine became emperor, and he eventually settled on December 25 as the date of Christ's birth in the year AD 336. Now, it would be easy for you and I to sit back here and say, pick a date, pick a date. What did he base this on? He based this on the fact that it was already being celebrated as a holiday in the Roman Empire.
That's correct.
But it was not put in place by him. It was put in place by a guy called Emperor Aurelian in 274 AD, who established a feast of the birth of Sol Invictus. Now, Sol Invictus was the sun god worshipped by the ancient Romans, and he established this feast on December 25. And as I've said, for many, that's the clincher.
Yeah.
They celebrate Christmas Day on December 25. It's of pagan origin. Or January 6, because some of the Orthodox people celebrated on January 6. And you might know, you would have heard of the 12 days of Christmas. Well, between December 25 and January 6 is what we commonly refer to as the 12 days of Christmas. If you're a Catholic or an Orthodox or someone like that, you would know all of this stuff. So I'm not going into that in great detail, but it's easy to just spin off from that and say, well, there you are, that's what they used. But the fact of the matter was, do you realise that the association between December 25 is the birth of Christ. And I'm going to get to this in a minute because there were various groups. I've mentioned Tertullian. There was another group called the Donatian Christians, D-O-N-A-T-I-A-N, of North Africa, who, believe it or not, as early as AD 300, around the time of the persecution of Diocletian, these guys also believed that Christ was born on December 25.
Wow, okay.
Now, they were Christians. They were persecuted. So I think it's drawing a long bow to bring all of this together, which is the popular belief that, okay, it came from Christian pagan origins, therefore we shouldn't celebrate it. But anyway, I've asked myself a question, and I'm interested in your comments. The question is this. If we knew the day and the date of Christ's birth, what do you think potentially could happen? What would they be celebrating? Would they be celebrating the person who was born on that day, or would they be celebrating the date?
Hmm.
I'm just asking the question. I'm interested in your comments on that, because you know how people often tend to forget.
Yeah.
I mean, today we talk about the reason for the season, yes?
Yeah.
Well, most people don't know the reason for the season. The average Australian, if I walked out with a microphone out of the studio today in Adelaide and said, hey, good afternoon, I'm Brenton Wilkinson, just ask you a question. You've heard the saying, the reason for the season. Do you know what the reason for the season is? I wonder how many would say, yep, know exactly what it
you're
is,
probably
Brenton.
Right.
So what's your thoughts on it, Will?
Yeah. I think Christmas is very much a part of our culture.
Yes, it is.
And it's a time where, regardless of whether you understand the season or not, it's really a time of coming together with family, loved ones, and experiencing that.
Is there anything intrinsically wrong with that?
Yeah, and I think that's what I was coming to. This.
Yeah.
I think the spirit of Christmas in today's culture, it's more about, like we shared in our story earlier, it's about giving,
it is
about spending time with family, you know, just really coming together in community, whether it's friends, family. And I think that's what really Christmas is about. Obviously, for kids, it's about receiving parent presents and that type of thing. So in a general sense, look, me personally, I don't really have a problem with Christmas. I don't, even though I can see that there are definitely some pagan origins of Christmas. But for me, it's a time when people are giving. There's a spirit in the air, if I could use that language, of you know, coming to the end of the year and, you know, the new year's around the corner. Yeah. It's kind of like saying goodbye to this year
kind of starting the new one.
A bit of excitement and opportunity for next year. So, and, you know, it's also, as we understand, Pastor Brennan, it's a time when the name of Jesus has been more readily mentioned in dinner side conversations and stuff. So, look, I personally love Christmas.
Yeah, me too.
Look, I understand the origins, and look, I think it boils down to conscience.
Does it depend, do you think, on how you use that time? Because I'm going to come to that a little bit later.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to share some things with you, some comments by a Christian writer, which I found quite challenging.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I say about this? It wasn't until the 12th century AD, believe it or not, that they started associating Christmas, celebrated on December 25, with paganism. So you've got nearly 1,000 years, maybe 900 years of church history.
Wow.
Where there was no connection between December 25, which is the date we celebrate Christ's birth on, did you know that's coming from pagan origins? Now, that grew till when you got to the 18th and 19th centuries, you had various theologians who also recognized there were some links to paganism.
Yeah.
We're not disputing that. For instance, the origins of Christmas trees, they trace their roots back to medieval druidic practices.
Okay.
However, I'm going to get to Christmas trees in a minute. You don't necessarily have to call them Christmas trees. I've touched on the Donatian Christians who celebrated December 25. This was, somewhere in the period around 312 AD. So, but interestingly enough, a little bit later in the probably the same century that Constantine actually made it an official day, you find this from an ancient Roman almanac from that particular period. It was discussing the deaths of Christian martyrs and the dates of their deaths and that sort of thing. But it says this, December 25, Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's what the almanac says.
Right.
I've interpreted, well, I didn't interpret it personally, but I had a look at the evidence for it and I said, that's exactly what it's saying. It's saying that according to this almanac, who was based on Christian martyrs and the deaths of Christian saints and that sort of thing, according to that, Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, we've had the argument put forward, you and I both know it,
so
there's no way they would have been out in the fields during that time because it's one of the coldest times of the year.
So what are you taking from that, Brendan? Are you saying that somehow that it's kind of crept into history? Like you're just saying the almanac's now saying, okay, December 25th.
This is an almanac. Obviously, that comes from pagan origin.
Right.
However, what I said earlier on is not from pagan origin. When you've got church fathers, again, who can't agree on exactly when Christ was born, but some are taking it from the Jewish faith, they are saying that March 25 was the date of the Passover when Christ was conceived, and 9 months later he was born.
Yeah.
And they see a connection between the two. You've got to say, well, are they totally wrong or not? We don't know.
Yeah.
So all I would say to our listeners is be a little bit cautious on making a blanket statement like Christmas is of pagan origin and we shouldn't celebrate it.
I think the same thing applies, I guess, to other holidays that we celebrate, Brenton. I'm thinking of like for instance, in Australia, Anzac Day or Australia Day or Father's Day.
Anzac Day you can verify because we know the date that they landed on Gallipoli. It was April 25.
Oh, okay.
I've been there. I've been to Gallipoli. Yes. I've seen the places where they fought.
Yeah, I mean, I was more thinking along the lines of the aspect of celebration.
Yes.
You know, and what I love what you're doing. You're coming to the Bible and you're looking. There's no specific text that says we should worship Jesus on December 25th or even his birth, so to speak.
Or not saying that you shouldn't.
Yeah. So, and I guess for me it's more, you know, your conscience. There are some Christians who will say, hey, we should have nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
It's totally of anything that is of pagan origin.
You might even know some.
Yeah.
I know some.
Yes.
I know people who will not celebrate Christmas under any circumstances because it's of pagan origin.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is this, and we will come to it after we've had our break and promoted our thing. What I'd like to say is this. Don't be quite so dogmatic in presenting this, particularly to children. Rather, another option, if you want to be dogmatic, I guess that's your choice. But there is another option, and the other option is you can present it to your children as, we don't know for sure that Jesus was born on December 25. However, because the world as a whole celebrates at that time of year, you and I know we have quite a few C of E Christians, probably in Adelaide and probably in other parts of Australia.
Yeah.
You know what a C of E
Christian
is. Christmas and Easter.
Yes.
Not Church of England.
Oh, right,
Christmas and Easter.
Okay, you got me there.
I call them C of E Christians.
Yeah.
Christmas and Easter. It's the only time they set foot inside a church.
Right.
And then, of course, we have many listeners who probably don't go to church at all but possibly know a little bit about the origin of Christmas. But going back to this Roy Morgan research that I mentioned earlier, 16.7 million Australians are going to buy $11.8 billion worth of gifts at this time. Given the current financial situation our country is in, and you yourself presented it from the story of this guy who paid for all
the
lay-bys
toys.
To be able, you could see just by the responses of some of the women, and I guess mostly it would have been women, wow, that's taken a bit of a load off because we've put all this stuff on budget and put all this stuff on lay-by and we don't know how we're going to pay it off, but we want the kids to have some Christmas presents. Now that load has been relieved, but you've still got the power bill that's going up and up and up, the rent that's going up and up and up, and the food and all the rest of it. You have to ask yourself a simple question. If you're going to disregard Christmas completely, that's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
But could you use it to advantage, to present the real story of Christmas, i.e. that Christ came to this earth as a gift, sent by God the Father, and the greatest gift given to this earth, we just talked about this man who had paid all the bills to cancel out all the laybys at this particular toy store. Christ came to cancel out the bill of sin for all those who choose to accept
Absolutely.
Him. Maybe we should be majoring more on that particular aspect and the aspect of giving that you touched on earlier on. We'll touch on that a bit more after we've had our break.
Sure, sure. Wonderful. we're going to go to a break now and loving the conversation thus far. Hope you guys are enjoying it out there as well. So we'll come back to Pastor Brent in just a few moments. But for now, I'd like to promote our book offer one more time in our live show today. Our title of our book, we'd love for you to receive a free copy. It's called Knowing Jesus, Knowing God, by David Marshall. David Marshall has degrees, including a doctorate in history, but he chose to spend his life communicating the good news about Jesus. He is never happier than when he is immersed in the four Gospels. David believes that in them we encounter the living Christ and through him, the generous Father whose arms are wide open to those who return to his home. If you'd like a free copy of the book, Knowing Jesus, Knowing God, all you need to do is text the code SA244 to 0488880811, and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, Knowing Jesus, Knowing God, that's our free book offer by David Marshall, the giveaway code SA244, and you need to text that code to 0488880811, and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. Please don't go away. We'll be back in just a few moments. That was
Who
the
was that?
101 Strings Orchestra. How's that for to get the juices flowing?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was Oh Holy Night by the 101 Strings Orchestra. We thought we'd share a Christmas themed song there for you guys.
My favourite Christmas carol.
It's your favourite song, Pastor Brendan.
I've sung it as a solo a few times, actually. It's a great piece.
Maybe we should get the recording here. Well, we can play
Maybe we'll do it.
We'll have to see what we can do with our team here.
Yeah, it's interesting. The best versions I've ever heard of O Holy Night are Michael Crawford's version, for those who are listening.
Okay.
Or Celine Dion. Celine Dion sings a good version.
Yeah.
Josh Groban, you would have heard of Josh Groban. Yep. He sings a good one as well. So there's a number of singers who do a pretty good job on this particular
piece. Have to get into
piece.
It.
Yeah.
So welcome back. You listen to Faith FM. Jive Time BQ&A, it's Will and Brent in the studio. We're looking at the theme, what is Christmas all about this week? And tonight we've been looking at the question, should I celebrate Christmas and is it pagan? So Pastor Brendan, you've been walking us through, I guess, some of the history behind the developments leading up to December 25. And just before the break, you really touched on, I guess, how can we use Christmas
effectively.
Yeah. Mm. So walk us through a bit more of that. How can we relate to Christmas today? Okay, there are elements of paganism. Yep, we can't get around that.
No,
and at the end of the day, it's people's conscience. But for those of us who can say, hey, how can we use this in Christmas coming up?
In effective ways, yes, that's a good point. Let me give you an example before I give you a couple of quotes here regarding what some people regard as Christmas trees, and we'll immediately come to the conclusion that that's pagan, so we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Let me read you these quotes in a minute, but I want to share something with you. This happened a number of years ago to my wife and I. At the time, I wasn't pastoring the church that I am now pastoring, but I had a senior position in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a decision, my wife and I, around about November, late November, that we would put on a Christmas lunch for people who didn't have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we used it to sell it to our church congregation. And I'm trying to remember how many came. It wasn't a huge number, but it might have been about 20. These were people who didn't have anywhere to go for Christmas Day. Some of them were quite lonely, and as you sat down there eating your Christmas meal together with them, and Lurline did a pretty good meal, I'll give her that.
Yeah.
My wife's a very good cook, and she did a pretty good meal. We were able to sit down and just share with them, and you know what, of all the Christmases I've done in my life, this one probably had more meaning for me than anyone. Yes, I've done Christmas with my family, just as you have. I've done Christmas with my relatives. When we were children, we used to go from Adelaide up to Wall Flat. Wall Flat, for those who don't know, is on the River Murray, partway between Manham and Murray Bridge, and we used to have Christmas with the relatives up there. I had a great-grandmother who was still alive at the time, and they used to set out this table, Will, and without a word of a lie, there would be about 50 people around the table.
Wow.
You'd have all the cousins, the first cousins, second cousins, third cousins, twice removed, are all sitting around the table.
Right.
But it gave you a sense of community.
Yeah.
You were sitting there and you're looking at these other kids who were about your age and all the rest of it. Look, we could reminisce. We're not here to reminisce on Christmas in that sense, but what I want to draw, I guess, from what I've just been saying about the time that we gave Christmas to some people who had nowhere to go that day, I realised some of them afterwards lived by themselves. So whether you choose to celebrate Christmas because you think it's pagan or not, it is the time of year where most Australians have some, however dim, view of Christmas and what it is. It's not just about gifts. You can even find secular people who are not Christians who tend to take the view that spending too much money on presents for kids and that sort of thing at Christmas time is actually not healthy for them. To give them a gift, sure, by all means. No problems there. What are your thoughts on this? We talked before the break about how can we better utilise it. I've suggested one idea. Have you thought of any others? Another thing, I know there are other organisations, both charitable ones, Christian ones, churches who do Christmas dinner for people. So yeah, we're not pioneering anything in this particular area. However, what I would say is that the good work that's been done by people there, you don't know what effect this is having on people, because after Christmas Day is over and it's all ended for another year and we start another year and all the rest of it and we go here, there and everywhere, I would imagine that people who have had the opportunity to come along and sit at a table, have a decent meal, and for some of them it's probably the best meal they're going to get all week.
Yeah.
Some of these people would be saying to themselves, particularly if you can introduce the theme of Jesus as the greatest gift that was ever given to this world. I mean, if you want to use Jesus' example in Christmas, and we all know you can go to churches, see the nativity scene, see it acted out. Probably this month, I imagine I'll be up at Lobethal singing with the choir group up there, if I'm asked. So all of those things together tell you that Christmas does have meaning.
Yeah.
And it's not just about having presents and putting lights on trees and all of those sorts of things. So I think another way that you can celebrate Christmas and use it rightly is to – let me read this statement to you, and you can let me know your thoughts. Let us seek to faithfully represent Christ by imitating his example.
Yeah.
Now, as Christians, I don't believe that we would be stressed by that statement. We would say, yes, that's right. Don't be like the world, says the statement. Christmas Day, precious reminder of the sacrifice made in man's behalf, should not be devoted to gluttony and self-indulgence. Now, let me ask you a question while I stop just there. For many people, that's exactly what Christmas Day is. It's a time of gluttony, overeating, over-drinking and over-everything,
pretty much.
And then at the end of the day, you sit back in the chair surrounded by the wreckage of all the presents and all the stuff that's on the floor and that sort of thing and go, wow, Christmas is over for another year. What's your thoughts on it?
I think I was saying earlier, look, at the end of the day, and I'm speaking as a Christian here, and even you can have 10 Christians in the room and they all have different perspectives on it.
They probably will.
I think at the end day, you've got to go by what your conscience, how you deeply feel about the issue. If you seriously feel that it's too much of a compromise, then don't do it. But I think there's a principle in the book of Romans, I think in chapter 14, where kind of Paul was dealing with the church there and saying, you know, one person esteems one day above the other. He said, let that person be, you know,
persuaded in his own mind.
I think I would kind of take that principle to Christmas. But I do think something should be shared, regardless what our views are. I don't think we should use it as a club to beat people down or to denigrate them with opposing
views.
If
they choose to celebrate Christmas and you don't, I don't believe you have a right to foist that idea on other people.
Yeah.
The rest of the statement says this: if we would indulge less in feasting and merriment upon these occasions and instead make them the means of benefiting humanity, now that really opens your mental picture a bit, we should better meet the mind of God. In other words, this course of action at that time of year meets with God's approval. So probably, Will, if we're breaking it all down, how can we better utilise a day that, in general, by most Australians is who have any sort of understanding of Christmas at all, how can we better utilise that day as a Christian to benefit others? How can we share with others?
Yeah.
Now I come down to the sort of, as we draw towards the end of our study time, Christmas trees. Okay, now, you and I know that some churches have Christmas trees, some churches don't, and I'm not here to argue the case for those who don't, but I found this statement interesting. God would be well pleased if on Christmas each church would have a Christmas tree on which shall be hung offerings, great and small, for these houses of worship. Now, this statement is taken from a statement made quite some time ago by a Christian writer, and it was particularly relevant to the time in which she was living,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that the church that she attended was starting to become dilapidated, is probably the best word. It wasn't derelict, but it was dilapidated. And she was saying, well, why not use the Christmas period to bring gifts? Obviously gifts of money, I guess, and maybe gifts of other things as well. Put them on a tree in the church as your gift to God,
yeah.
for his great gift to you.
Yeah.
Always remember that Christmas is reciprocal. We give presents, we receive presents, and there's nothing personally wrong with that unless you overdo it. I would suggest to you a good principle to think of is if it's really going to drive you into significant financial stress, you would really be better off not going to the trouble of buying a lot of presents. We've reached a point in our family now where we don't give presents anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If I get a gift from somebody, that's nice, but, you know, we don't sort of make a big thing about it. Inquiries have been made. Shall we have a Christmas tree? Will it not be like the world? Now, this is particularly relevant to what we're talking about today. We answer. You can make it like the world if you have a disposition to do so, or you can make it as unlike the world as possible. There is no sin in selecting a fragrant evergreen and placing it in our churches.
Mm-hmm.
But the sin lies in the motive which prompts the actions and the use made of the gifts upon the tree. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah.
I find that quite interesting. So what God is looking at is, let's say you're in a church and the church has got the biggest Christmas tree you've ever seen in your life, and it's, oh, the kids, kids go back and their mouths drop open and they go, wow.
Yeah.
What sort of signal is that sending to them?
Yeah.
If it were a tree that's filled with gifts, wouldn't that be better?
Yeah.
They would then get an idea of the fact that we are giving these gifts to God because of his great gift for us.
Mm. Yeah.
You got any thoughts on this?
Mm. Yeah, I when I first came, when I first became a Christian, and I remember the gentleman, the family that led me to the Lord, I guess, starting with the Bible, when it came to Christmas, they had a Christmas tree in their house. But it essentially carrying on along
pretty
those principles.
Like what you were
instead
saying.
Instead of what they had hanging on the trees was Bible verses.
Yes. Yeah.
And, yeah, it was very much a focus on God.
Yes.
And God's gift
which
through
we've
Jesus.
Lost.
Yeah.
We've largely lost that. Unfortunately, yeah. even in Christian households,
that's right.
we've lost that. Because some people, my dear mother used to really absolutely believe in having a Christmas tree every year. And we would put the lights on it and all the rest of it. And we as kids enjoyed all of that sort of thing. And I'm not saying that was wrong. But I'm saying the motive, what this this Christian writer is suggesting is that the motive as to why you do it is what God looks at. And if you can use that tree to put gifts on, to help the poor and to help others, I reckon that's probably what God is looking for.
Yeah. I was in Sydney a couple of weeks ago, Brenton, and I was driving through one of the streets there, and this street was lit up with homes, with all of the, you know, the dazzling lights, and it's a bit of a spectacle. I think different families there. If you're a Christian family, it's almost a form of witnessing. And I remember driving one of the homes, and it had literally as clear right on the top of the over the front door. It said, "Glory to God in the highest." And, you know, you just drive past, and I just saw it for a split second, and I said, man, what a witness. You know, this time of the year is when people are celebrating Christmas, and if you're a Christian, why not take that opportunity?
Yeah, that's
but at
I'm
the
saying.
Same time, Brendan, I understand, like, for the culture, it's a very the consumer.
It takes the focus off of you, and it puts the focus somewhere else where it rightly belongs. I think this Christian writer said you would be worshipping the Creator rather than the created.
Yeah.
So that's where the focus should be, I think.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, like you were saying, like during this time, and, you know, businesses capitalize on Christmas. So for them, it's not really about uplifting Jesus.
No,
it's about
not at all.
Driving sales figures.
It's crash commercialism.
Yeah. So I guess that's part of why it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a financial time for businesses.
Oh. It's the best time of the year.
So it's a very, I guess, consumeristic type of season.
Yeah.
But we don't want to lose sight of what it's really about. Yeah. And for the Christian, obviously, yes, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but hey, it's a time when more than any that people are more open to hearing about the message of Jesus.
Yeah, let's get away from the crass commercialism, as I've put it,
yeah,
to the real meaning of Christmas,
go ahead.
The reason for the season. And John 3:16 says, and I think it's a good one for us to finish
Amen.
On, God so loved the world that he gave.
Yes.
What do we do at Christmas time? We give.
Mm-hmm.
He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
We would like to wish all our listeners a blessed Christmas.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you, Brenton. I appreciate you unpacking this very relevant topic during this season. Unfortunately, our time is up for tonight.
It is.
We thank you to you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in tonight. Please join our hosts tomorrow, Pastor Ricardo and Pastor Marty, as they will look at the question, does the Old Testament really foretell Christ? We're sure you'll be in for a treat. So until then, we want to leave you with the words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John 14 and verse 27. He says these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." May God bless you, and we hope to see you next time.
Into a world without hope, God's hope was born, not as an idea or a principle. God's hope was born as a baby, and the birth of that baby changed the world forever.
Shepherds on a hillside, wise men from afar, to celebrate the coming of my Lord. What a tiny stable, what a wondrous star. Unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born.
Sing away,
to all men ever,
sing away,
to all the earth,
sing away,
for Christ our Savior.
Sing Noel, sing Noel,
all of creation,
sing Noel,
celebrate his birth,
sing Noel,
for Christ our Savior,
sing Noel.
See the little baby in a manger low, joyful we adore the newborn King. Hosanna in the highest, kneel before his throne. Join us in the mighty chorus, hark the herald angels sing.